I want to share with you something that I saw. It's quite unbelievable. We know the famous family of the Rothschilds. So we know that, generally speaking, the family was, although initially they were at the very early generations, I think they kept to Torah mitzvah. Very quickly they left Yiddishkeit. They left Yiddishkeit, and pretty much, and I think most of even the descendants, I think, are not even Jewish, to understand that the majority of the descendants are not even Jewish. But one particular branch of the family kept Torah, and we're going back a couple of hundred years ago, but they kept Yiddishkeit. It was the Frankfurt branch. We know the family split it into various branches, and that was probably part of their success. Of the huge success was the fact that they had split off and invested in different parts of the world. I'm not a great entrepreneur, but there is something about spreading the resources. So the branch in Frankfurt am Main, they were really frum. And at one point the story goes that Baron Rothschild, who was the one in Frankfurt, Baron Rothschild, he met the first Baba Rebbe, Abshalom Baba. Was it first Baba Rebbe? The first Abshalom Baba was the first Baba Rebbe, wasn't he? Ah, okay. So it was one of the first Baba Rebbe, the grandson of the Divrei Chaim. And he, I don't know why he ended up in Frankfurt, but he did. And there, the Baron Rothschild, a person who was close to Torah and its Gdoile Israel, he made a point of meeting this great tzaddik, Shlomo Bobova. And they met, and to show off a little bit his dikduk and his carefulness about mitzvahs, Baron Rothschild tells Shlomo Bobova, and he says, you know, it's not good enough for me, I'm quite nervous about chometz on Pesach, very nervous about this, so therefore, I didn't just rely on the fact of having a kosher the Pesach kitchen, in fact, I invested in having a kosher Pesach mansion. And I bought myself a little mansion, which that's for Pesach. So from Pesach to Pesach, I don't go in there, I don't step foot there. It's a mansion which is kosher le Pesach, and I lock it out. Erev Pesach, I open it up. I have all my Pesach stuff there, my matzahs are there, and I spend my normal mansion, my normal palace, I lock up and I sell it to the goy, and I go for the kosher le Pesach mansion. I spend there the whole Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, I lock it up, and there's never any. It doesn't go in. No chometz anywhere near that mansion, and I keep it up. And that's so. I've got all the hidurim. There's no suffix whatsoever. Chometz. There's no shilas whatsoever. It's the chumras at its very very best. And he wanted to share that to Reb Shlomo Bobova. Reb Shlomo Bobova looked at him, and he wasn't particularly impressed. He didn't look particularly impressed. So Baron Rothschild, and he was quite astonished about that, and he says, well, what's wrong with that? Why does the Holy Rabbi not approve of this? I can see it's written all over your face that you're not impressed. Well, what's wrong with it? So Shlomo Bobova said, I want to tell you, you know, you're asking my opinion, I want to tell you, I'm not particularly impressed. And Shlomo Bobova says, I'm not particularly, it doesn't mean so much. I want to tell you, there's no chumra in it. There's no chumra, there's no hiddur in doing so. Because I have a proof, because my grandfather was the Heilige Divrei Chaim. The Reb Chaim Tzanzer, and he was very poor. He was an extremely poor man. But when it came to a chumra, he would spend any money in the world to fulfill any great chumra. Even the most far-fetched chumra, he would spend any money in the world. And another, my grandfather, he never had a Pesach mansion. So must be there's no chumra. If there would be a chumra, he would have spent all the money in the world and gone away from his house for Pesach. So must be there's no chumra in that, because otherwise, if there would have been a chumra, my grandfather would have done it. So that's what Reb Shlomo Bobova told Baron Rothschild. But Baron Rothschild said, well, okay, I mean, I thought there must be a point in it. He said, you know what? Reb Shlomo Bobova said, I want to explain to you, if you want to try to understand it, I'll explain to you why is that so. Why is there no chumra if having a Pesach mansion? And he said as follows. It says that matzahs, you can only be fulfilling, the Gemara says, that you can only fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzahs. Matzahs can only be fulfilled with something which could have potentially, we learned these halachas, he could have potentially become chametz. Right, for instance, kidneys or anything which cannot really become chametz, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of matzah on the Leil Pesach with kidneys, with any. It has to be something which can only something which can become chametz. Only with that you can fulfill the mitzvah. So from here we learn, says Shai Baba, that you must always have something which just comes naturally. That's no Indian in it. Only something which is really hard, only then there's a point in it. If there's something which doesn't come hard, there's no nisoyin in it, there's no yetzahor in it, there's no difficulty in it, there's no point. He said, to have a Pesach mansion, it defeats the purpose, says Reb Shlomo Bava. It defeats the purpose, because if you don't have to work, you don't have to go on your knees, whether emotionally, spiritually, or physically, if you don't have to work for Pesach, there's no point in it. If you just lock up your house, you go to your Pesach mansion, you've missed the boat. You have to work towards it, because it has to come with work, it has to come with toil and with omol. Pesach has to come, and Pesach has to come with avodah. Otherwise, there's no point. That's what he says. So I don't know if we should tell our wives, but Pesach has to come with work. Yeah.
So is this accusation at night? Is this accusation against people who go away to hotels?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I suppose it depends who you ask. I don't know. Is that what you want to ask as well? Yeah. So that's a beautiful, beautiful story of Shlomo Bava Ben Rosh Chai. Apparently, Ben Rosh Chai was so impressed with that answer that from then onwards he supported the Shlomo Bava and his Bes Medrash and his Moistus. He supported him with a fortune every year. He sent him a very, very huge donation every single year. He was so impressed by that answer. Now, as to whether that means that he didn't use that Pesach mansion or not, that I don't know. Could be that he still wanted to have that luxury. But he certainly was very impressed and he supported Reb Shlomo Bava. Okay. Right. We are up to Simon Kuvav, bottom line of page 266. And we discussed yesterday the obligation of Noshim, of women, with regards to Shmoyne Esrei. And we learned that the words of Shulchan Aruch is that although they are exempt from Shema, they are chayev, they are obligated in Tefillah. And we went straight from there into Mishle Bosef Kotan Dalet, which tells us that this is the opinion of the Rambam. What does the Rambam hold? Anybody recap briefly what the Rambam's opinion is? Rambam holds that... Pardon? That's right. The Medraisa, the pasuk says, there's a Torah obligation to daven, which applies both to men and women alike. Not time bound at all. Lo'avdo, you have to serve him anytime. However, rabbinically, the Rabbonon, they made the time to it, and that's and only with the Rabbonon, the mitzvah Shema Gom, it's only time bound mitzvah, rabbinically. And therefore, there is really, Medraisa, women have an obligation to say some tefillah. Some tefillah. By the way, we mentioned yesterday Moed Ani. I forgot who asked that Moed Ani doesn't have a bakosha. And that's true. We asked, right? I forgot who asked it. So the truth is, I looked into it, and the Pshem Zamataka asked that question as well, that Moed Ani may not be sufficient. What he does say, very interestingly, he points out, the poskim say, that according to the Rambam, the shortest tefillah, or very useful bracha to know, according to the Rambam, that's very nogea for women. How do they fulfill if they haven't got time to say Shemana Esse? They haven't got time to daven. What should they say? So he says, very interestingly, he says, the yirotzim that we say, after the brachas, he says, that will contain a bakosha, a tefillah, and a hoidah. Where is it? This yirotzim contains both a praise, asking Hashem, and bakosha, hoidah, and shvach to Hashem. And he says, yirotzim elfonech Hashem elokei v'lokeav. He says, shtatzileinu yoyim v'chol yoyim. He says, a bakosha, you ask Hashem, please save me any day. Me'az eponim, me'az usponim, odom ro. And he says that, this is a good filler. If you want to be Yoytzim or Deraisa, the opinion of the Rambam. Okay, that's the opinion of the Rambam, and we'll see soon that Loch Lemaisas, together with Pascal and the Rambam, remains questionable. But let's move on to the Ramban. That's three lines from the bottom in our editions, and it says as follows. Aval das Ramban. The opinion of the Ramban is different. And he holds as follows. Have you got the right place? Yeah, it's towards the bottom of this. Yeah. Aval das Ramban, she'ikam mitzvah tefillah midivrei sofrim. The Ramban disagrees. And he says, no. The obligation to daven to Hashem is merely midrabbanon. Midivrei sofrim. She'em anshei knesset gdoila. It was actually the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilah who established the obligation to daven to Hashem. Prior to that, there was no real obligation. They established an obligation to daven Shachis. They established an obligation to daven Mincha. Mariv is only voluntary. That's what Ramban holds. And although it is rabbinically a time-bound mitzvah, and the women are exempt from any time-bound mitzvahs, even if they are rabbanon, such as kiddush levana, nevertheless, when the Anshei Knesset HaGdoilah, when the Chachomim, when the rabbanon established that obligation to daven, which again, according to the Ramban, is not the Raisa. So they said, you have to daven Shachis, you have to daven Mincha, and it's time bound. And you know what they said as well? They said that women are obligated to. It's time bound, but except as an exception, they're actually obligated to the women as well. Hoil v'tfilu b'kosh rachmim v'chein ikka. So that because it's ultimately, it's b'kosh rachmim, a yidin to daven to Hashem, and v'chein ikka, and that is the main... And that is the main opinion, says the Mishnah Berurah. The main opinion is like the Ramban. So, Aloch Lamaisa, what are the differences between the Rambam and the Ramban? Can you think of some nafkaminas? Are women obligated to daven Shemona Esrei according to the Rambam, the first opinion? No, they're not. Are they obligated to daven Shemona Esrei according to the Ramban? They are. That's right. Yeah, they are. According to the Ramban, they're obligated to daven Shemona Esrei. And according to Mishnah Berurah, finishes off the page with the critical two words, v'chein ikka, that is the main halacha. According to Mishnah Berurah, the main halacha is like the Ramban, which means that women must daven Shemona Esrei, although it's time-bound. Either. Shachis or Mincha. Either Shachis or Mincha. No, Mariv less. Mariv less so. Now, the Mishnah Berurah adds off, and he says, Kikein da'az ro'eva poskim, the majority of the opinion is like the... The majority of the opinion is like the Ramban. Vechinachia b'sefer Shagis Arya. Shagis Arya also paskins like that. Al Kain. Therefore, yesh lehazi lenoshim. One must tell the noshim. One must tell the women. Sheispalenu shmona esrei. They should daven shmona esrei. Venochen gam ken. It is also proper. Shekablu alein oyma chushmaim. She accept upon them the oyma chushmaim. Vehaim dehainu shiyem guach upon him shma yisrael. They should say at the very least shma yisrael. Kedisa b'simin ein. As we learned in simin ein. In order they should be merging, they should join Gula Litfilah. This is all with regards to Shachiz Mincha, about Tfilas Arv Shoshos, but Mariv, which is voluntary, although everybody doubles Mariv already, nobody said it's voluntary. Women have not accepted on themselves Ma'ariv. The majority of women do not have Ma'ariv, and therefore they don't have to have Ma'ariv. Tfilas musaf with regards to mutzav, betzlach because of the pturos. Although the opinion of the tzlach is they are exempt, I will be safe. Mogen giborim posuk dechayovois, and mogen giborim however says they're chayiv. And I think many women are makbit to have mutzav as well. So we've got over here a psak of the Mishnah Berurah. Let's recap this really, really important Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says the halacha is like the Ramban. And the Ramban holds that there is no obligation with the Raisa, but there is an obligation with the Rabbonon to daven Shmona Esrei of Shachris and Mincha. This applies equally to men and women. Although it's time-bound, women are obligated. He says, therefore, women must daven Shmona Esrei, Shachris or Mincha, and it's or you're right. Yeah, and correct. Yeah, although that's a bit questionable, but you're right. That's what he says over here. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Thank you very much. Yeah. And therefore, And consequently, they have to, and as well as, they need to have, say Shema and Birkas Shema as well. Rabbosai, the contemporary poskim speaking in great detail about this. Is it always feasible for ladies to daven Shmoneh Esrei? It's not always possible. I think we all agree that sometimes when you have a lot of small children and they work and they have commitments and they are very busy, so sometimes it's not really possible. The poskim, therefore, they take the following, Shlomo Zalman and other poskim, they speak about what actually women have to do nowadays. And considering the fact that it's a machlokas Ramban and Rambam, and elsewhere the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Rambam, by the way, so they take generally the opinion that if a woman cannot daven Shmoneh Esrei, she should at least do like the opinion of the Rambam, and they should say short tefillah in the morning, prior to anything else, and with that be yotzei the opinion of the Rambam, and if they can't daven Shmoneh Esrei every now and then, That's they're still yoyis according to the opinion of the Rambam, but that's fine. Rabbi Yisai, are women allowed to eat before davening? Yes? Everybody agrees to that? Only on Shabbos? Women allowed to eat before davening? Physically weaker? Yeah, everybody? Very good, excellent. Very good. So the mindset that it's interesting that the earlier poskim don't mention this point at all, which remains a bit of a question mark, why? But the contemporary poskim, they say that l'chayra, just like we have an issa, we are not allowed to eat before davening, so the same issa really should apply to women too. Now, it's true, we need to daven a lot more, but at the very least, that short bakosha, which can literally be a few seconds, literally a few seconds, women should not eat prior to having said that bakosha. It's true, they can eat before Shmoneh Esrei. It's true, they can eat before Sukkot Zimra. They can only eat before, they can even eat before, but, however, that short bakosha of asking Hashem, that short tefillah to Hashem, that should not be said unless they've eaten something, which is exactly what you're pointing out. Right, okay, so you base. No, there is still the point of chinuch. The Mishnah Berurah says, so that's all with regards to women. I'm just going over the last five words of Shulchan Aruch. Siv Aleph says as follows: Uktanim shegiu lechinuch hayov melechancham, children who have reached the chinuch age, when esim mechanach them to daven. Mishnah Berurah says, Cotton Hay. What does he refer to? Lechan chom leispal Shmoneh Esrei erev uboika. That children should have the, they should be, once they reach the age of chinuch, they should be davening Ma'ariv and Shachis. Mikom nokom, nevertheless, Gershai litulem lechol kodin fila Shachis v'osu la'noisom. Children certainly allowed to eat before davening Shachis. They're not allowed to be in agony. They're allowed to eat properly before davening. But that doesn't apply to them at all. They're allowed to eat before davening. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. Did I say Ma'ariv? No, it's referring to Mincha. Correct. Mincha and... Yeah, it is referring to Mincha. Okay. Continues the Shulchan Aruch Seif Beis. Mishu Teirosoi Umnosoi. Okay, this is referring to now somebody Teirosoi Umnosoi. Literally, Teirosoi Umnosoi means somebody whose Torah is his Umnos, his skill, his job, his life. Mishu Teirosoi Umnosoi. Somebody whose Torah is all he's got. He doesn't have any other thing. He has got nothing else in his life besides Torah. Kigoin, such as Rashbi, Shem Bar Yochai, Vechaverov, and his colleagues. They had nothing, no other purpose in life besides learning Torah. They had no other job in life. They had nothing else besides Torah. Mafsik l'kriyas Shema, they do interrupt their learning to say Shema, but they will not interrupt for Shmoneh Esrei. They won't. They can just learn. and they won't daven. Have an onu, but us onu mafsikim ben kriyas shema lebein tefillah. Nowadays, said the Shulchan Aruch, you may be thinking you're a great masmid, but however, you are not allowed to skip Shemoneh Esres. You think you're a great masmid, you're not like Ibshim Bar Yochai, you have to daven Shemoneh Esres. Yeah. Very good. Very, very good, Shaila. It's a very good Shaila. It's a very good Shaila. It was in Simon Peites. Wasn't it? I have to look it up. I don't know the answer. Moshe, it's a very, very good shaila. It wasn't in Peites. I don't know what it was. It's a very, very good shaila. It's a really good shaila. Well, how would that make sense? That you, he says over there, als Marisa Ein, at the very least, you have to go to shul for other, because otherwise maybe learning. So what's the point of going to shul unless the Ramah doesn't paskin like that. It could be machlokes shulchan aruch Ramah. Okay, I'm not sure. It's a very good shaila. It's an excellent shaila. Yeah, okay. Al kaponim with regards to Sif Kotten, Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Mishnah Berurah says, defines somebody's Torosim Nosoi, Kigoyin Rashbi, Dehem Lo Yos, Oiskin Klaber Melachtom, they didn't have any other jobs. They did not interrupt their learning even for a minute. Asked that we keep interrupting our learning, also for work, for panosa, kolshken, even more such an afsik letfila. We certainly need to stop to daven. I could finish off the Ramad Mitzvah tomorrow. Just to recap what we learned today, we went over the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam holds that Midrash is an obligation to daven. Midrabbonon is the times of Midrabbonon. The Rambam disagrees and holds that everything is Midrabbonon and therefore women are also included in the obligation to daven, although it's time bound. According to the Rambam, women have to daven Shemoneh Esres because that's part of the Takana. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Mishnah Berurah adds and reminds us that women are also obligated to say Emes V'yatzim and to be Mekabel Olam Achus Shemayim. We then moved on and we learned the opinion, the words of the Shulchan Aruch that says that children have to daven Shemoneh Esres too, as soon as they've reached the age of Chinuch, Shachav Erev, Erev Avoyke, Loshon Mishnah Berurah is. However, there's no Issa to eat. Children are allowed to eat before davening, that's fine. Then we learned the safe base, which tells us Mishnah Berurah Nosoi, like in Shem Barichai, they have to say Shema, they don't have to daven though. However, this doesn't apply to us nowadays. We all have to stop to daven and to say Shema. And we'll continue tomorrow. Im Yetzer Hashem.